Welcome to the Fifth Dimensional Academy of Higher Consciousness. Today is January 22nd. When wisdom comes to our lives, prior to wisdom, before the grace, the spirit comes and touches our lives, we are in this unconscious pattern in our lives that which is connected to the collective karma as well as your personal karma. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard of the word karma, and people bring it up. And this, for example, when we are born, we're born into this particular family in certain region, and then so this is predisposition, like you don't have a choice in the family that you're going to be born into and what is going on in the environment in that country, in the society. You don't have a choice in that either. So you have landed into this place, and also you're going to go through certain conditioning through your society, your school, your environment, whatever is happening around you in your surrounding. So you're going to get conditioned by that as well. So there's nothing you can do about that. So, but as we evolve and we go forward, and to those of us that presence comes into our lives, breaks into the rhythm, our karmic rhythm, whatever, and presence comes. The grace comes into your life. You get touched by that. And when the grace comes in, then we begin to experience the something greater than what we thought exists in our lives. What seemed to be the norm, what seemed to be the rhythm that we're, the cycle we're going through, it looks like it. Now, you could have been going through this for 30, 40 years, and then, or longer. And all of a sudden, you start to be touched by the presence. And what happens is when the presence comes into your life, it creates space. There's a disconnection happens from you of being completely identified with your thinking pattern and the collective thinking pattern, as well as the story which is going on in the world. So that space separates you from it and through the presence. And it brings you into this place of a touch, a feeling, a kiss, a dance with something much bigger than you that has entered into your life, and it feels really right. And the mind wants to understand it. Your mind wants to understand what this is. But awareness, consciousness, is not to be understood by the limited mind. But something inside you knows it's right, because it's the very essence and the very fabric of who you are, the presence. So I'm going to use, why don't we use a practical example? Let's go back into this place. Let's just go back into this meditative place. And you close your eyes and you go back into meditation, right? And just be an observer. And I want you to do this consciously. It's like we did meditate, we came out of it, we're going to go back into it. But when you're going back into it, I want you to take a different approach, okay? I want you to go back to your meditation completely without any agendas, without any kind of goal, but simply disconnecting and disengaging from whatever is your life or your story, and you simply come back into this place. You're here and you're present. You have your eyes closed. You have your attention on one point, and you allow thoughts come and go, and you allow emotions to come and go. There is complete surrender to whatever is happening, including the external noises, whatever noise you hear from the outside. And then let's together we examine what takes over. So take a deep breath and come back to this place and just hang out in this place. Spend time in this place and stay in this place for 3 minutes, few minutes. So anybody can recognize the difference? Can you feel like what happens? Anyone would like to share with me? You can raise your hand if you like and I'll unmute you so we can talk. You feel like something happened in between the two. When you create space, when the self-awareness comes in and this mechanism of becoming aware, awake, and in this awakening that takes over, the presence, you know, these are different words that we can use. These presence, consciousness, awakening, awareness, right? So here we are, we're living our lives, and in this life that we're living in, we have this unconscious patterns, unconscious thoughts that is going, and these patterns that we get caught into. So for example, you know, I have people come and tell me like, yeah, everybody cheats on me, or I always meet these people that they steal from me, or they cheat on me, or somehow I get the short end of the stick in any kind of business transaction I get involved in. So this person's mentality and thoughts and the thought pattern has gone into this area of same thoughts of everybody's cheating me. Everybody is dishonest. So as a result, their reality becomes that. So they encounter and they draw different kind of people in their lives that they're not honest with them and they cheat them. So they get to validate this pattern over and over again, okay? So, and this pattern is not gonna break until presence, awareness comes into the equation. When the presence, the awareness comes into the occasion, then it creates space. And in that creating of the space, what happens is the mind gets disengaged. The awareness comes in, and the person who's aware, the watcher, the witness, begins through the space that has been created, begins to see the mind. Okay? You begin to see your mind. And that's tremendous, because majority of people on the planet, they can't see their mind. They have absolutely no idea, no understanding that their thinking mind is ruling them, and their emotions, they're completely being ruled by it. Hence, they follow the wrong leaders and they go to war and they do all kinds of crimes and they do all kinds of stuff. Or because they're so involved into this aspect of existence and they're so much believe in it, they're completely identified with it. You know, they commit crimes, killing, raping other people or whatever, stealing from other people, manipulating other people. And this has been going on and on and on throughout the history of mankind. But every once in a while, what happens is all of a sudden, somehow, for whatever reason that I can't really explain it because I don't know, that space comes, the presence comes, her majesty, the supreme soul, enters and breaks into the karmic wheel that we're stuck into. Because this karmic wheel that we're talking about is really an identification with thoughts. When we really identify with our thoughts and we really believe that we're our thinking mind, then we get stuck into this thing, and then it, and then we're going through this karmic wheel. Shishi, are you able to look at the Facebook Live questions? Maybe we can answer them too. Yeah. So, but I have a question here. Let me answer this question from Rosalie. Okay, Rosalie, I'm gonna actually unmute you so you can ask me your question.
Yeah, I see that many people, when about win and lose in life, and they press themselves down when things don't go their way, and they think, I'm a loser, but I don't see any as a loser. As my mantra is that I win or I learn.
Right. Okay. So is that a question, or you just want to share with me?
I wanted to share it, and I wanted to people that nobody should press themselves down as a loser.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But I don't see any as a loser.
Right. Okay. Thanks. Thanks, sweetheart. Yeah. You have anything for me, Shishi? Okay. Okay. We have here. Hi, Farhang. Nice to see you. Farhang is saying, you attract what you're thinking. So basically, because we're awareness, and awareness is unlimited, we're infinite beings, and it depends where the attention of this awareness goes, is that wherever, you know, when you get really focused on something, your attention goes on one thing, and then that thing becomes your reality. That thing is what is going on for you in that moment. But then again, back to what I was talking about, meditation, what it does is, in a correct way, we're meditating and we're trained to do it, but not robotically, because I also have to say a lot of people do their meditation robotically, or because it's cool, or it's because it's something, it's a practice, they do that. But really what it is the whole idea of it is to help you, directing you in this direction, to pointing, it's your pointer, to make you realize the vastness of space which is available, which is here, and you're a part of it, this vastness of space, of the present, that it, this engaging from the thoughts, your thinking, stream of thoughts that's going through your mind, and also emotions that are traveling through you all the time, from recognizing the two and kind of pulling yourself away from it through meditation, and coming back to yourself, coming back to this place of presence, that you're just hanging out in here, and you're not bored. Okay, you're not irritated, or you're not angry. You're simply are in this place. And then what happens is you begin to experience something very beautiful happen. That the moment of life begins to give you the nectar of this moment of pure presence of being.
A question from Jerry. Even when being connected to source, why is receiving money always a problem?
Okay, Jerry is saying, while connecting to the source, why receiving money is always a problem for me. Okay, well, I'm not sure if I understand, like, receiving money is like if earning money or having a hard time with making money. I'm not exactly sure.
Says, even when being connected to source, why is receiving money always a problem for you?
Okay, well, my question is, like, I don't know what it means by receiving money. Like, if somebody, that's what I'm trying to figure out, is whether it's making money, or, you know, if, for example, her mother wants to give her a chunk of money, or people want to give him things.
Jerry.
Yeah, I understand. People want to give him things, he would not accept them. So I would need a little bit more information before I answer that question. But because I don't know what exactly he means by that. Because some people do have a hard time, because of our early childhood conditioning, to receive. To, you know, as soon as you give a gift to them, and they have a hard time accepting it. And because that comes from all sort of lack of self-worth and self-acceptance, that they feel like they're not good enough to receive. Now, if somebody feels connected to the source and they're not making enough money, then that's a different story. Obviously, that also indicates that a part of the whole thing is like, how much can you accept what is? Because we really try to do our best to improve our lives. We're not trying to, I mean, you may be sitting around and not doing anything and expecting existence to be taking care of you and providing for you, or you may be out there and trying to make a living and you do your best to make it happen. So, but while you're doing this, while you're trying to do your best to make it happen, if you're connected, if you feel connected to existence, then in the meantime, you have understood and you know that existence provides and existence takes care of us. And there's also, there's a level in this transaction, what is happening is there's also a level of trust. You have developed a level of trust and surrender. Trust and surrender. Go ahead. Unable to connect with Ernie. Right. Well, again, it's always difficult for me to answer a question unless I know a lot of the details, but I can just give a general answer, and because I don't know the certain, the specific patterns of a person or where they're at and what is going on with that. So, but this is what I, as I mentioned earlier, this is what I can answer, is that the more we're connected, the more we're in this place of trust, the more you start to feel the presence of the being, Her Majesty is here, and you feel it, and you get into a dance with the presence. You can touch it, and you, it comes into your everyday life. And the more you also realize that this flow of life, this flow of the energy that is going through, is the same flow that goes through everything in life. There's a balance into it. And this flow, basically, in being in touch with it, it also brings this understanding of all is really well, and that everything is going to be okay, everything is provided. And the more you tap into it, the more you see its magic. Now, let's put it this way, that just because you've become highly spiritual and you feel very connected to life and to your heart, that's not a reason that we're going to get wealthy or all of a sudden everything we want is going to show up in our lives. At least that's not been my experience. So you can be very, very connected to that and trust life and feel the presence and not get everything you need. Not get everything you want, I'm sorry, but you will get everything you need. Those are two different and separate things. Everything you want versus everything you need. And in this process, this transaction, there are times that you have to completely surrender. You have to completely give it up and let it go. So
he said, he's five, he watched his mother try and save his father from a heart attack when he died before his eyes. And he's thinking maybe that childhood trauma has something not trusting life for.
Okay. Right. So right. Okay. Do we have anything else?
Question from Hilda Evanson, how do I let go 100%?
Right. Well, our sister Hilda Evanstadt, apparently she's with us from the hospital through Facebook Live. And Hilda is asking, how do I let go 100%? So, well, I think you've already let go 100%, honey. Well, The interesting thing is that you want to let go 100% from where? Letting go 100% from the mind or from the heart? Because the mind cannot let go 100%. It's impossible. The mind is still going to hang on to something. It's the heart that can let go 100%. And quite often, you know, when we're in despair and we get into desperation and existence is forcing us, pushing us, you know, you have tried every way and all different avenues that you know. You've tried everything and nothing works. And you fail. Whatever you tried, it doesn't work. And then it comes to the very, very end. And there's a moment that you totally surrender. You totally let go. And it's a very beautiful moment because normally transformation happens in that moment. But that's not something you can do with your mind. Because even in your mind, you say, okay, I'm going to let 100% go. But it's a trick because the mind can't do it. It's the heart that does it. I don't know if this makes sense or not, but it's a process that automatically leads itself in that way. And it comes to that, that you have exhausted all possibilities and there's nowhere to go. There's nothing else you can do. And all of a sudden you're in this place of, oh, and you surrender. And what happens in that space is being created. And then everything becomes possible. But if we're trying to understand that with our thinking mind, it's the mind simply can't understand it. What else do we have? Shishi, do we have anything else? Jillian. Okay. All right. So this is from another friend. I've developed panic attacks in a vehicle roughly 2.5 years ago in a vehicle. So I was on a diet and switched birth controls around the same time. I had an attack in my vehicle where my legs were numb and my sight was going dark. Never was I ever... can you read this to me, Shishi, please? Ms. Shishi, are you here? So I'm reading this new... No, I have a fear. Okay. Shishi?
Yes.
Are you there? Can you read this without bringing up the name of the person? Can you just read?
Yes.
So we can hear.
I developed panic in a vehicle, roughly. I was on a diet at the time. My sight was going dark. Never was I ever scared to drive before. I could drive far and loved it. It was therapeutic for me. I drive for work. Now I have a fear of driving far. I've come far and I'm able to get back into the vehicle again, but I can still not go too far without worrying and have some sort of panic. What do you recommend I do? I wish I could be peaceful in mind again and love to drive. Someone told me to do a past life regression or a healing of some sort. I've done some meditation and hypnosis. I am a new follower and watched many of your videos. Sorry, I can't talk live.
Okay. All right. Oh. Okay, I was on a diet and switched birth control. Okay, so I'm wondering, the number one thing I'm curious about is that how your digestion is. And if you're having problem with your digestion, it's a possibility that what happens with, let's see, she wrote back, okay. So it's very much possible that what happened is birth control pills, when women are birth control pills for a long time, what happens is it damages the lining of the small intestine and it can create a syndrome called leaky gut. So what happens is when we start developing some sort of leaky gut because of the birth control pills, then undigested molecule of food such as gluten, sugar, or dairy starts to leak into the bloodstream and it triggers the neurotransmitters inside the body. Now, it all depends on the person. Everybody reacts to it differently. So it's possible that around the same time that you have changed your birth control pill, and I don't know what kind of diet you've been in, you may have been doing it for a long time, or maybe you've been taking antibiotics too, or I don't exactly know, it's difficult for me to say because I don't have all the facts, but I'm just giving you a general idea. It's possible. Right. It's a possibility that what happened, and this is an easy way to figure it out. It's a possibility that what happened was the lining of your intestinal tract got thin through that diet. And what happens is through the tight junctions of the cells inside the small intestine, they're really tight like this. Now, sometimes when they open up a little bit, this is it's not something they can see in a colonoscopy. It's not visible to the eye, but this is something, there's an epidemic, and this is pretty much all over the world, and it's happening a lot to people. So the tight junctions of the cells in the small intestine, there's an opening in it, and they lose their tightness. Now, all kinds of undigested molecules of food that they're not meant to get into your bloodstream, they leak in. And as they leak into your bloodstream, they're affecting your neurotransmitters and your immune system. And one of the effects of that is panic attacks. So you start having all these panic attacks that rises, you know, and it could be associated to driving or swimming in the ocean or whatever it is. So I would just definitely, if I were you, first thing I would do is I would get a leaky gut test. And most ordinary doctors, they don't believe in it and they may make fun of you. So it's best as if you find a functional medicine doctor. And if you want, we can also post a couple of links to leaky gut so you can understand it a little bit more. So because this is pretty much all over the planet and a lot of people are suffering from it. So that's one thing I would say that you check in first to see you don't have it. Because if you have developed it, some sort of leaky gut, no matter what you do, because you're not trying to heal the actual cause, you are going to be doing a lot of different things and they're not going to be working. So it's good to number one, find out you don't have it and then move on from there. Another thing you can do is, let me check her messages. What else? They also say I may have polycysts ovaries. I know a lot of leaky gut. They say this is part of that. I hit that home for me. Okay. Yeah, I would definitely look into that, sweetheart. Because, you know, I've had young kids. They brought 15, 16, 18-year-old kids to me. And they were suffering from panic attacks. And they take them to ordinary doctors and they give them medications for their panics. But when we did the leaky gut test on them, we realized that they have already developed some kind of gluten sensitivity. And so then when we changed their diet, the panic attacks started to disappear. Let's see from, okay, here from Farhang, how can you cut your negative strands or cords to other people or places? Okay. So that basically goes back into from Denmark. So that basically, how can you cut your negative strands or cords to other people or places? So that goes back to a karmic situation, what the subject that we talked about. To cut ourselves off from certain negative connection we have to some people and also to places. Again, when we go back, when we start to being touched by the presence, when the awareness comes, and we begin to dive into the awareness. We go into the heart of the awareness. And the more we become familiar with it, the more we become immersed into the space that has been created by the grace, by the awareness, the presence. Let's put it in this way. I start taking time. I just want to make it very simple for you. Let's put it that way. That you disengage from your ordinary life or whatever you're doing, and you're spending time with yourself for how long, whatever that is. So you're going to go for a walk by the ocean, or you go to the park, and you don't have your phone on you. You're not engaged with your phone. And you go somewhere, and you're walking or you're sitting, and you're just hanging out with yourself, spending time with yourself. So let's look at that. I am going to spend time with myself. I have my day, and it's very busy, and I have a lot of stuff to do. I got a lot of people to call, send text messages, emails, corresponding with this and that, posting things on Facebook or Instagram, socializing, seeing my family, exercising, going out, doing that, doing whatever it is. So I pause and I stop. And this stopping, I spend whatever, 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever, minutes by myself. And I'm hanging out with me. Here I am, spending time with me. And then there may this thought pattern comes, this stuff come like, I need to do something. I need to do something. Or I need to go somewhere. So this anxiety may come. This anxiousness may come that I have to get up and do something. I can't just sit here and not do anything. And you don't respond to that impulse. You just stay here, and you allow the anxiousness to be, and you look at it. And as you're spending time here and you're present, you're here, you're not doing anything, then all of a sudden you begin to look around and you begin to look at things that you normally don't look at. I mean, you're in your room, your living room or wherever, and then you start pay attention to where you stacked up your books, where you put your stuff around. Just take a look at them. How often do you look at your things? Not generally, you're looking at them every day, but you don't pay attention to them. And now you just kind of look at stuff, things around you in your room, where you have them. Or if you're in a park or somewhere, and you're just taking things, look at a tree. Just check out the shape of it and compare that one with another tree and the way that one looks. And you start to see all of a sudden things that you don't see. And in this hanging out, in this moment by yourself, of being here and disconnecting from all your instruments and your agendas and where you have to go, a phone call you have to make, you're just hanging out here. You're just here, and then you begin to feel there's something else besides your agendas. Something else begin to show itself, and it's that's presence. The present begins to show itself. Something takes over. If you're capable of mellowing down and going beyond the anxiousness, if you don't give into the mind that is telling you, you gotta go, you gotta go, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. If you don't give into that, and you just stay still, stay here, you begin to feel the presence. You begin to touch the being. And that's where the nectar is, the present. So the more you become aware of it, the more in your daily life you disengage from your daily life, and you come back home, it's coming back home to this place. The more you can feel it, the more it takes over. The more everything settles down, everything becomes quiet. It's not very difficult. It's really not difficult. You just have to take time off. even though in the beginning, when you take time off, in the beginning, it appears to be kind of frightening, or it appears to be there's anxiousness in it. Like, what am I doing? I have so many things to do. But that's the trick. In the midst of all this stuff that are happening, you take time off and you come back to it. Do we have any other questions? Yeah. Yeah, in the beginning, it sometimes feels like it's the most difficult thing to do in life, but, or it seems a little scary in the beginning, but it's amazing how transformative it is. Right. How are you doing, Karen?
I'm fine.
Fine. Sleepy?
Yeah, I'm a little bit tired. And yeah. I have some issues with my legs.
Okay.
And I have difficulties to accept it. I don't want it to be like that.
Right. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. Right. Well, it's nice to see you.
Yeah, likewise.
Hi, Paulina.
Hi.
Hi. Did you go to your dance class?
The Gaga people.
Right.
I discovered it last week.
Okay.
And I actually will attend this week on Thursday.
Okay.
I'm so excited.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
How long is it?
How long is it? 1 hour, I think.
1 hour. Okay. Good.
I will report.
Yeah, let me know how it goes.
Yeah.
Right. I found a place near my home. They do ecstatic dance, and it happens on Tuesday and Thursdays. So,
are you joining?
Well, you know, you can drop in and drop out. You can just do it whenever you want, because it's not a class that you join in. So, but I went one time. I'm planning on going again as soon as I have a free evening. So
fantastic.
Yeah. And I'll report back to you as well.
Looking forward.
Yeah, yeah.
About February, a lot of people lose. There's not a lot of Chicago. I had no effective.
Right, right. Can you, did everybody hear you?
Addressing blues.
Yeah, yeah. Shishi says that I should talk about the blues that in January, February, she used to live in Chicago, right?
Right.
Right, and it's kind of like Scandinavia, the weather. And in January, February, everybody gets the blues.
Snow.
Yeah, there's a lot of snow and not much sun and not much light, huh? Okay, so how did you get over it?
It's California. But I had seasonal affective disorder as a thing. It's called SAD.
Right, right, yeah. Well, I don't think I can teach Scandinavians how to go through their own winter. If you haven't, I think they have figured it out how to do it. But yeah, the basically for me is that I have to be engaged into something creative and constructive. So if I'm hitting I mean, my life is different than you back in Sweden, Norway, or Denmark, or Germany, because, and of course, we have a different kind of weather pattern here. And of course, when I do come to your countries, and I'm there in winter, or I'm there for a long period of time, I notice that for me, in order to keep my emotional balance, emotionally stay balanced the entire time, is to be involved with things, with creativity, things I like and things that inspire me. So then my attention shifts from the weather, my attention goes into something I'm creating. That's how I handle it, basically. But it was, I think, I don't know, I've never lived in a Scandinavian country for 9 months a year in wintertime, to really come up with a formula of how to handle that. Well, how did you do it, Shishi? You grew up in Chicago.
As soon as I had my spiritual awakening, that's when I realized I have a choice somewhere else.
Okay.
But I feel depressed.
Right, right. Well, you know that's not a practical thing for everybody. You know that.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, being constructive and being creative. And that always changes everything. Just for those of you who are here for the first time and listening, you can connect with me via Facebook or Instagram. We have also the Academy Facebook, which is Fifth Dimensional Academy of Higher Consciousness. You can also check out our website. It's zarathustra.tv. Sending you lots of love. Thank you for joining me. God bless you.